Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Everybody say seasons. It's seasons. You go through seasons. Do you hear me? You don't always feel like 100. Sometimes you feel like a 10. Sometimes you don't feel good. And sometimes it's not the enemy. It's been your diet. You're low. It's because you haven't slept well. It's not the devil. You need a nap. Now, somebody help me. You know, you look back and you say, that's the truth. I was upset. I was all frustrated. It wasn't the world. You were off. The world wasn't off. You were off. Somebody say amen. Amen. Come on, ladies. Come on, gentlemen. Amen. Help me out here. I remember it was a joke when I was growing up as a kid. We couldn't do anything because my dad was tired. That was one of the jokes when we were kids. We had church on Sunday evening. We used to have church Sunday morning and Sunday night. And we'd have to take a nap on Sunday afternoon because my dad was tired. Oh, I was fit to be tired. I could have run around that house all afternoon. But because dad was tired, and because grandma's grumpier, because daddy's upset, the whole family's upset. And sometimes it's not the devil that you're wrestling with. It's a season. It's just a time. So if you'd learn to eat better, exercise a little bit, get rest, you'd probably feel the Holy Ghost more often. It's seasons. Listen to me. Don't get discouraged when the skies are gray or when it feels like it's been a while before you haven't been inspired. We tend to think that every moment should be like a surprise. I was in the garage last night by myself. Terry was working upstairs, and when she came through the garage door, it scared me so bad. I screamed, she screamed, slammed the door. She didn't know where I was at. She came looking for me. I didn't know where she was. I thought she was upstairs. I went out in the garage, and when I turned to look at the door, she came through the door. I went, ah! And you think that life is supposed to be that 3 seconds all the time. Listen to me. It's okay if it's just easy. Just easy. It's all right. Get used to it being all right. Everything doesn't have to be an emergency. Everything doesn't have to be stressful. Do you hear me? You ought to, now listen carefully, you ought to be able to build praise and thanks out of any situation that you are in. There's always something you can be thankful for, that you can give God praise for, that you can say it's going to be all right. I'm going to ask this quietly. I just need you to show me your hands. Have you been through enough that now you know the next thing you go through, God will carry you? Have you been through enough? Terry went to the doctor this week, and she had a pacemaker put in a year ago, and she went, and would you believe, with three physicians attending, they were able with a computer to change her heart rate from outside of her. They did all this stuff and they made a new declaration. Her battery is going to last 6 more months. Playing on a computer gave a battery 6 more months. Not less, more. More, not less. Do you know that God can, just with a touch of a few keys, say, I give you a little shot here, huh? And fix you. Fix your thinking. Change your religious point of view and give you new life. Just the right thought about God. I'm preaching to you today. You've got a friend. A little while ago, I asked you for several words, loyalty, commitment, love, that what it means to you to think of a real true friend. How many of you realize it's hard to establish true friendship. True friendship. Lifelong true friendship. I have been disappointed by people who I thought was my friends. Have you? Some brokenness in them, some insecurity in them, something that would cause them to turn against me. Nate, that was so profound, saying I would like to reflect to the world these attributes of God. I want to be faithful. I want to be like God. That's my praise would be if I were like him. If I could be hopeful. How hopeful is God? Nothing can thwart his plans. And so I'm saying to you today, if you can just think about the goodness of God, the attributes of God, the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians talks about love. I didn't even give this verse to these guys, but you'll remember this from all the weddings you've been to. Love is patient. Everybody say patient. A friend is patient. Kind. Everybody say kind. It does not envy. Say does not envy. It does not boast. It does not boast. It's not proud. How many of you love a friend that's just honest with you, not proud? All right? It's not rude. Rude. Do you know anybody that's rude? Just rude? That's pretty rare, but there are people that are just rude. Don't be rude. Not self-seeking. Not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrongs. Does not delight in evil, rejoices in the truth, protects. A friend will protect you. Got your back. That's where that term came from. I got your back. Protects. Always trusts. Always hopes. Always perseveres. It never fails. I was watching a news broadcast this last week, and they were talking about the military and the two basic truths that seem to undergird the military. One is, you always go toward the battle. If there's a battle and your friends are in it, you go toward the gun. You go where the fighting is. You go that way. You don't go that way. Number one. And number two, you don't leave anybody behind. That's a friend. That's a friend. And I'm thinking about all the things that we can say about friendship, and then we have to put God in that position and say, he is our friend. Would you please look with me at John chapter 15, the Gospel of John chapter 15. John 15, verse 15, please. John chapter 15, verses 15, 16, and 17. If you have a red letter edition of the Bible, Jesus is speaking, and John 15:15 reads, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love one another. Just love each other. I have called you friends. Look at Proverbs 17, would you? The book of the Proverbs, chapter 17. And verse number 17. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves, you say it. A friend loves you when it's good and when it's bad. He loves at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. Chapter 18, please, verse 24. Chapter 18, 24. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I just want you to keep thinking about your friends. I want you to think about those people who have been loyal to you. Don't don't concentrate on the past and the people who've let you down, but think of the people who've been loyal to you, been good to you, that you trust, that you love, and then think about God and how he is one level higher than anything we ever think. He's higher, isn't he? His friendship is, he's more true. He's more loyal, right? When it says all times, it means all times. Do you get that? Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9 reads, two are better than one. Come stand by me, Tara, just for a minute, would you? First of all, so I can see how pretty you are. That's right. That's right. Okay. All right now?
Yeah.
Cool. Two are better than one. I just want you to know that. Together, I'm better.
Yes.
Together, I'm much better. It's amazing how much better I am when there are two.
Mm-hmm.
Two are better than one. Because they have good return for their work. Now think about this. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. Pity the man who falls and has no one to help him. Is that beautiful? Are you by anybody you like? Are you sitting by somebody you like? That's your friend? Look, old Joe. Joe, see, there's Joe snuggling up over there today. Just shake somebody's hand or just reach over, even if it's wrong-handed. Just shake hands or put your arm around somebody. Just tap somebody, would you? Just because you have a friend. Say to them, you have a friend. Thank you. You have a friend. I love that verse. Two are better than one. They have good return for their work. Verse 10, if one falls down, his friend can help him up. A friend. I'm going to tell you a little story, and I'll give you some verses to look at from 1 Chronicles chapter 27. 1 Chronicles chapter 27. And this is a listing of David's friends and different, I shouldn't say that, these are different acquaintances that David has, different people that work for David. King David, and verse 33, this is 1 Chronicles chapter 27, verse 33. Ahithophel was the king's counselor. So the king had a man of wisdom who he used as counsel, but it reads, Hushai the Archite was the king's friend. You can't be friends with everybody. There are some people that you can't trust. There are some people that you have to stay away from them. There are some people that aren't really looking out for you. If you're with them, it's because they want something from you. You have to be careful. Because some people smile and they look right, but man, their heart, you can tell when you're with them. They're really not for you. They're for them. How many of you know that? One of the worst things that can happen in a relationship would be that breaking of trust. It takes a while to rebuild that, doesn't it? Trust is a very delicate thing. It really is, to really trust. You have to be careful if you're going to be a good friend. You have to be careful that you don't delight in your friend's failure. Trouble comes. Stuff happens. And a true friend tries to help you up. Doesn't pile on. Doesn't make it worse. Friendship. And we know these things. These are deep principles. Have you ever longed for a true friend? I need somebody. I need help. I need somebody that's thinking clearly. Somebody that will give me advice that's not playing with me. I need somebody I can lean on. I need somebody. Or there are times when there's more love in your heart than you can contain, and you need to give it to somebody. You need to be a friend to somebody. You need to help somebody. You want to be good to somebody. Did you ever feel that way? Do you know that when you're converted, as you are being converted, do you realize that God is going to make stuff come out of you more than goes in? That there's going to be more coming out. The river of life is going to flow out of you. You're not going to be needy. You're not going to be thinking all about yourself. You're not going to be selfish. You're going to be thinking, how can I help? What can I do? There's just going to be more in you. Generosity is the nature of God. And a friend, well, he loves at all times. He's ready to help you. Let me tell you something real strange that happened this morning. It's part of this lesson. Two things have happened. Number one, we had that man who visited, who's outside right now trying to sober up a little bit. And on the way to church today, we pulled up beside a motorcycle, a big Harley, and the guy had his kickstand down. The kickstand was still down. Well, I don't know if you know what that means, if any of you have ridden bikes or not, but if he turns at all to the left, that's going to be like a spike. It's going to hit the ground. And I said, Terry, oh, my God, and he was one car ahead. I couldn't get to him. His kickstand was popped down. It's dangerous. It was about that far from the ground. Even when he took off and leaned just a little bit, I thought, oh, my God, it's going to catch. And the first thought that came to me, and I realized it was a part of this lesson today because it's something I'm trying to gender in my heart, I started praying for the guy. I pointed my finger at the windshield. I said, in Jesus' name, keep your hand on that man until he stops and finds that thing down. In Jesus' name, don't let him turn left and drive that thing into the ground and flip that cycle. In Jesus' name, keep your hand on him. Something came out of me. And it dawned on me when it was over, I didn't have to think about it. My first thought was, help. There are people that would wait, watch, and laugh. How many of you laugh when somebody falls down? They use that for comedy for years. Black and white films, people fall down, they do stuff. People just laugh. Ha! Do you laugh? Let me see that. Come on. Don't dip your head. Look, my wife has got her hand way, way up. My wife's the kind of a person, if somebody falls down or something happens, she laughs. She thinks it's the funniest thing in the world. That's part of it. Part of life. It's just funny. Right? Until it's you! Yeah. Then when you're laughing, you're going, don't you laugh. That hurt. Right? So here we have Hushai was the king's friend. Okay, we have to go back just a little bit to understand what that means. 2 Samuel chapter 15. This is one of the great stories about David. This is one of the coolest stories filled with drama. And 2 Samuel chapter 15. Hang on, let me get there. And I'll show you some verses. Let's look at, here's what's happening. David is the king. His son Absalom. The Bible says that Absalom was beautiful. He had no blemish on his body. He didn't have a freckle. Didn't have a mole. And he conspired against his own father. And Absalom would stay at the gate of the city when the people would come and go and they would have problems. They needed someone to advocate for them or someone to judge between them. And Absalom would go to the gate and talk to people. And when they would come to him, he'd kiss them and hug them and said, oh, if I was just made a judge, I would really help. I could really help this nation. Until finally the hearts of the people had turned to Absalom and they loved him. And instead of being able to love two people, which you're capable of doing, instead of leaving the king where he was and letting Absalom be an ambassador or an emissary or a judge for the king, Absalom started feeling pride. And so he conspires against his own father and he raises the entire nation of Israel to turn against David. And they turn against David and they come into the city of Jerusalem. And David, with his wives, his family, his best friends, his closest army, he has an actual group of soldiers around him as his own soldiers. They flee the city. They're leaving. People are crying. It's the scariest moment. David's an older man now. This isn't a Goliath. This isn't a Philistine. This isn't some. It's his own son. His own son is so filled with jealousy, so filled with lust, that he's going to kill his own father and take the kingdom. And David's leaving town, and you can imagine these people come out, pouring out of the city, and people in the city, they're hearing about, they're crying and watching David, and these soldiers are marching, and the Bible says David's barefooted. He took his shoes off, and he covers his head up, and he's weeping. He's broken. This thought of his son turning against him, and this trauma, again, David is on the run. And if you know anything about his history, when King Saul chased him, David's on the run again, and things ought to be good now, and that's the way some of you feel sometimes. Yeah, it ought to be good by now. What's wrong? This is just a season. It's a season. But the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 32, David continued up the Mount of Olives weeping as he went. His head was covered. He was barefoot. The people with him covered their heads, and they're weeping as they went. David had told Ahithophel is among the conspirators of Absalom. Remember, we just read Ahithophel is his counselor. So his counselor has gone over to be with Absalom. David prayed, "O Lord, turn Ahithophel's counsel into foolishness." And when David arrived at the summit where people used to worship God, Hushai, the Archite, was there to meet him. His robe was torn and was dust on his head. David said, "If you go with me, you're going to be a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, 'I'll be your servant. O king, I was with your father's servant in the past. I'm going to be your servant,' you can help frustrating Ahithophel's counsel. Won't the priests Zadok and Abiathar be there with you? Tell them anything you hear in the king's palace, and their sons are going to bring you word." And then verse 47, so David's friend Hushai arrived at Jerusalem as Absalom was entering the city. So he's got all this incredible problem. This is huge. He's fleeing for his life. Absalom's coming from the other direction, going to take the city. David's being thrown out. It's his own son. That's got to break his heart. You got to imagine the pain he feels at that. And he gets up the hill, he's leaving, and here is his friend. In the middle of the madness, his friend shows up. And there's going to be a switch now, there's going to be a change, and this is going to last a while. This conspiracy lasted a long time. Absalom's going to be the boss. You've got to be careful that you don't take advantage of everything that happens in somebody's life as if you're going to benefit by it. Sometimes you got to stand with your friends when it looks like the wrong thing to do. Everything I say today, you need to equate to God. When people judge a nation and say that nation's in trouble, be careful, because there's a friend. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. There's somebody that cares more than you care. When you see things going haywire, you got to know on the top of the next hill, David got to that ridge, and there's Hushai. And he says, "Listen, I want you to go to town, and I want you to tell Absalom that because you were my friend and I was the king, you're going to be his friend and he's going to be the king." And David sends his friend right back into the heat. He trusted him so much. David had gone a short distance beyond the summit. This is verse chapter 16. Let's go to verse 15. 16:15. And meanwhile, Absalom and all the men of Israel came to Jerusalem. Ahithophel was with him, and Hushai the Archite, David's friend, went to Absalom and said to him, "Long live the king, long live the king." Absalom asked Hushai, "Is this the love you show your friend?" Everybody say friend. Why didn't you go with your friend? Everybody say friend. Everybody knows this is David's friend. This isn't a counselor. It's not just one of his acquaintances. This is his buddy. Hushai said to Absalom, "No, the one chosen by the Lord, by these people and all the men of Israel, his I will be, and I will remain with him. Furthermore, whom should I serve? Should I not serve the son just as I served your father? I'll serve you." Absalom says to Ahithophel, "Give us your advice. What should we do?" Remember now, Ahithophel is the counselor. Ahithophel answered, "Lie with your father's concubines, whom he left to take care of the palace. Then all of Israel will hear that you've made yourself a stench in your father's nostrils, and the hands of everyone with you will be strengthened." So they pitched a tent for Absalom on the roof, and he lay with his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. Now in those days, the advices of Ahithophel gave was like the one who inquires of the Lord. And that was how both David and Absalom regarded Ahithophel's advice. Ahithophel said to Absalom, "I would choose 12,000 men, set out tonight in pursuit of David. I would attack him while he's weary and weak, strike him with terror, Then all the people with him will flee, and I would strike down only the king and bring all the people back to you. The death of the man you seek will mean the return of all. All the people will be unarmed. The plan seemed good to Absalom and to all the elders of Israel. Do you hear the plan? Go get him right now. Run him down while he's tired. Kill him. Bring all the people back, and all of Israel will fall before you. Absalom, you can be the king. Absalom said, summon also Hushai the Archite so we can hear what he has to say. When Hushai came to Absalom, said, Ahithophel has given this advice. Should we do what he says? If not, give us your opinion. Hushai replies to Absalom, the advice Ahithophel has given is not good. You know your father and his men. They're fighters, as fierce as a wild bear robbed of her cubs. Besides, your father's an experienced fighter. He's not going to spend the night with his troops. Even now, he's hidden in a cave or some other place. If we attack the troops first, whoever hears about it will say, there's been a slaughter among the troops who follow Absalom. Then even the bravest soldiers, whose heart is like the heart of a lion, will melt with fear. And all Israel know that your father's a fighter, and those men that are with him are brave. So I advise you, let all Israel from Dan to Beersheba be numbered as the sand on the seashore. Be gathered to you with yourself, leading them into battle. Then we're going to attack him wherever he may be found. We'll fall on him as the dew settles on the ground. Neither he nor any of his men will be left alive. If he withdraws into a city, then all Israel will bring ropes to that city. We'll drag it down to the valley until not even a piece of it can be found. Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the advice of Hushai the Archite is better than that of Ahithophel. For the Lord had determined to frustrate the good advice of Ahithophel in order to bring disaster on Absalom. So Hushai says, no, don't go after him tonight. What's he doing? He's saving his buddy. He's giving David a chance to get away. He said, don't go after him tonight. You know how tough he is. Ahithophel knows David's worn out. He's an old man. Go get him. But his buddy comes up with this incredible plan. Said, let's just drag the whole city that he's hiding in down to the ocean. Well, Absalom's going, boy, that sounds great. That's a great idea. Ahithophel goes home and kills himself, hung himself. His counsel's frustrated. David escapes. There's a war between David's men and Absalom's men, and Absalom is caught, as you know, the strangest story. He had such long, beautiful hair, he'd let it grow, and then when he cut it, he'd weigh it. He was so proud. And his hair got caught in the branches of a tree, and he's hanging by his hair. David said, spare the boy, but the warriors kill him. David begins to mourn over his son. We come to the end of David's life. Ahithophel's gone. Absalom's gone. Jonathan's gone. King Saul, the stories are over. We come to the end of David's life, and it says, and David calls his people, and here comes Hushai, his friend. Saved his life. It's not that you wouldn't be tempted to turn away, but it's a decision that you make in those moments that make you a true friend. If God was weak, he would have left you long ago. If he was looking for mutual friendship, if he was looking for mutual love, if he thought he could get something out of us, if that was his plan, if God was weak, that's the way it would be. But I declare to you today, there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He loves you and picks you up when you're down. He's loyal to you when you're crazy, when you're nuts, when you're off. He's loyal to you when you're wrong. He's your friend. He doesn't listen to everybody else complain about you. Is there anybody here complain to God about somebody and say, why don't you just take their life? It'd be good if they just went ahead and died. I remember I was a friend with a preacher took me out to lunch one day and said, God's going to kill my wife. He was so upset at her. I thought God's going to kill her. I'd been married about 6 months, and I decided I'll probably never say that out loud. A friend. My final verse for you today is Matthew 11. And I told you we had another example. Matthew chapter 11. This is so interesting today. How many of you know God works in mysterious ways? This is Matthew chapter 11. Shevik, are you back there? Raise your hand. I can't see you. Okay. Shevik is working on the computer today. I sent these verses this morning to Shevik at about 10 o'clock. And you'll see how this parallels this service just in a moment where we read. This is Matthew 11, 18 and 19. For John the Baptist came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Wisdom is proved right by her actions. Be careful in your sobriety. Be careful in your righteousness. Be careful that you don't look down on drunkards and sinners. Because he's their friend. I had that verse before we got here today, and sure enough, if a guy didn't come in here drunk and honest to God, we're singing a song that moved him, and he couldn't even get to his chair. You can say what you want. That man fell on his face. When I turned, my first thought was, I should be on my face. And the nervousness that gets on our church. Somebody's a little out of hand. Somebody's a little loud. What them ushers going to do about this guy? Come on now. Is the pastor going to take care of this or not? Come on. Somebody ought to do something about this. And I had that verse ready. You might, and I might, think, no. We ought to do something about this. But his friend loved him through his madness. And for the first time, Joe, I did not get nervous. Not today. I didn't get nervous. I didn't get nervous. I'm sure I got to do what I got to do, and I'm sure we have to keep order, and God's not the author of confusion, and we have children we have to protect from any kind of madness. But I didn't get nervous, and I didn't get mad. I realized he's got a friend. You got a song for me, Steve? And it made me so thankful for our church
It made me thankful because the level of nervousness is dropping. We're not all right, but we're close. We're not where we used to be. But does anybody with any spiritual discernment, you can start that for me. Anybody with spiritual discernment, did anybody look and think, that's an honest bow? Did you? Let's stand, shall we? You coming up here, Brad? Look at Brad. Come on, Brad. This is Brad Larson. Has never stepped forward to speak like this. So I'm touched. Please.
This morning, when I picked up people from Dorothy Day, actually this gentleman got on the bus a stop before that, and he was sitting in the seat behind me, and he was weeping. And he was saying, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. That was this drunk that was here this morning. My dad was an alcoholic. And I thought, oh, Lord, we all need forgiveness. We're all a mess. And I thought, the Lord has already forgiven this man. God's already forgiven him. And he's forgiven all of us for our mess. And I'm just thankful that we come to a place where an alcoholic can come. This is a place of grace. And I'm glad that God is helping us all to just be loving and kind. Let's not judge the drunkard. Let's not drunk the high. And the people that I bring here on the bus, they didn't judge him. There was a couple people that gave him some handkerchiefs because he was weeping. And I just think God is such a friend. He's such a friend. And Pastor, you were right on today. You were right on. God is such a friend, and I'm thankful for that friend.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.